Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Well, as primary voting approaches later this month, elections officials remain concerned about the cyber threats posed to our voting systems. Cybersecurity is consistently threatened across government institutions, private companies, and nonprofits. And with the advent of home devices and biotech, our personal data is consistently in jeopardy. The Cybersecurity Center of the Americas at Miami-Dade College launches this fall with a focus on training the next generation of security professionals. The school is a state-of-the-art control room that is actually going to simulate a real-world security operations center. Jorge Ortega is the director of the center and comes from years working at Intel and McAfee Securities, and he joins us in studio to discuss the cybersecurity threats on the horizon and how these students are going to be prepared for that future. Mr. Ortega, thanks so much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So take us inside the Cybersecurity Center. What does it look like? What are the tools that students are going to be using? What's inside?
Absolutely. So the Cybersecurity Center, what we wanted to make sure was that we were giving students and professionals alike, because this is a training center that could be used both by students and working professionals in the IT industry, is the opportunity to get what we consider to be advanced high-level security training. What that means is we're looking to give them the critical hands-on skills that you really need to be successful in today's industry. So when you look at the cybersecurity landscape in general, you're seeing a lot of open positions. So you're seeing almost 300,000 open positions throughout the country, 12,000 in the state of Florida alone. And what's happening is organizations, and it could be private sector, public sector, it could be anything from law enforcement to government to private industry, is having trouble finding qualified cybersecurity experts. And a big reason for that is because of the lack of hands-on skills. And so what we're doing at this center is, because of the unique training platform and the facility that we're having, we're going to be giving them those type of hands-on skills that will allow them to act.
And that, so there's something interesting you brought up we're going to get to in a moment, which is the lack of having enough skilled workers out there. But let's go back to the center and how you're going to give them that training, because I had mentioned earlier that you have this control center.
Yep.
That basically is this real-world experience they're going to have, where they're going to have exercises and they're going to have to, an emergency comes down, something happens, all of a sudden all the systems are at risk and now they got to figure it out. But take us into that room. What does it look like? What's going on?
Exactly. So the room was created to mimic a security operations center or network operations center, which is, most people are familiar with that from maybe ads or the movies or TV, where you see a lot of the war room type scenarios. In addition to having that facility, which will allow students and professionals to feel the true sense of being under attack in the same type of environment that would happen, we also have a training platform. We're only the third institution in the entire country to have this training platform, the only one in Florida to have this exact type of training platform. So it's a really unique opportunity. And what this training platform does, which differentiates from a lot of training, is that it simulates an actual network that has the size and scope that most professionals will find out in the industry, with all the different tools and servers and traffic that you will have on a true corporate environment.
And that platform you're talking about, we're talking about, like, it's a way to train people in that real world experience. So let's imagine there's an attack, and this is, you're going to set up a simulation where a corporation is being attacked or something like that.
Correct. So this network will emulate, as I said, what a corporation will have. And then we will introduce real world malware into that network. We have different attack scenarios. So anywhere from ransomware, man in the middle, SQL injection, these type of real life attacks will be introduced to the network. And the trainees will be forced to detect and neutralize and remediate the situation. And again, it's a little bit different from traditional training, which is more based on lectures and readings and that type of activity. Here, you're really forced to act. And again, that's really what we're aiming to, because when you get out in industry and you get out into the organizational network, you need to understand how to respond to these cyber threats, especially today, where they're becoming more and more complex and advanced.
We talk about cyber attacks, on a regular basis. It's just part of life. Yeah. Ransomware attacks and malware attacks. Help us understand what the differences are.
So there's a lot of different types. Malware is essentially malicious software. So there's a lot of different brands of that, and ransomware is one of those. Ransomware has been very popular lately. It's been in the news a lot. And essentially what it does is it locks up and encrypts your files or your network or parts of it, and then it forces you with a time limit to pay a ransom to unlock those files, to receive those keys. Otherwise, those files will be lost forever. So that's a situation where there's clearly a financial motive. The person that is trying to launch that attack is looking to be paid for that attack.
Are the ransomwares typically done against individuals? I've heard about some of these where somebody says they've got all your passwords, and if you don't pay this ransom, they're going to basically destroy your accounts.
Yes.
And stuff. But so is it mostly towards individuals, or even ransomware could be attacks on larger systems and corporations or governments?
We've seen it in both. So you see it to private individuals. Unfortunately, ransomware is not very complex in order of creating it and deploying it. But we've seen it both individual attacks, and we've seen it large scale. You just saw the city of Atlanta was attacked with a ransomware attack recently. And it shut down a lot of their critical infrastructure. And it took them a long time and a lot of money to get everything back up to speed. So these ransomware attacks are happening more and more with more frequency. And what you end up seeing is that these ransomwares are able, and like all malware, they're able to infiltrate the networks, because now there's no longer what we used to call a perimeter, where you would have the network very controlled. Now what you see is everybody using their own bring-your-own device, a lot of telecommuting, so remote workers, people using their own laptops, their own smartphones, their own tablets. And so what's that's doing is that's giving the security department, the IT department, a much more difficult challenge to be able to control what their users are doing, where their users are clicking malicious links or downloading malicious attachments or whatnot. And then once that happens, and that again, that's why we're focusing so much on understanding how to respond to these attacks, because once it happens, you have to act. And so that's what we're trying to create.
Are a lot of the attacks still based on the simple mistakes that we make as individuals when we open an email or go into a link we shouldn't go into, or are they finding other ways to get in?
No, I'd say that the bulk of the attacks are still very much what we would call rudimentary, user error. And that's why, you know, we also propose a lot of security awareness training and different exercises to get your security users. And we're talking about everybody from your frontline admins all the way up to your C-level executives to understand the repercussions of the actions they take, to be very cautious of what they do, because a lot of what you see today is not a complex breach, but rather user intervention or even social engineering, which is almost nothing to do with the technical side, where you just someone puts their password and writes it on a Post-it note and leaves it by their desk, and now you have this person's credentials
sometimes you have help desk people at the help desk give you know information out.
Absolutely, someone will call, and especially today with social media, everyone knows everybody's title, where they work, who their team is, so they can call a help desk and say, I am this person and I forgot my credentials, can you please give them to me? And a lot of times they'll be able to get it that way as well. So in that case, it's even more complex, because then the person's logging into the network with actual credentials, but to do malicious activity. And so it's a complex issue, and not one that's easy to solve, but one that needs to have a lot of focus.
I'm talking with Jorge Ortega. He's the new director of Miami-Dade College's Cybersecurity School of the Americas. And we're talking about the greatest cybersecurity threats facing governments, businesses, nonprofits, individuals as well. And what this program is going to do in preparing, I guess, those future cyber warriors as they go out into the world. You come from Intel and McAfee. I had a slip of the tongue earlier. It's McAfee Securities, working in the business side of their cybersecurity sector. How's that experience brought in to inform the school on what they should be teaching people?
So one of the great advantages of my experience is that I saw how too many times the security profile was to have products. So a lot of times, you know, there's a proliferation of security products out there. The startup world is is rife with cybersecurity products. And what happens is you can't just rely on products. What, you know, the old adage was just make sure you layer a lot of products together and cover everything from your endpoint to your network and your mobile. But I feel that as time has passed, we've seen that training and having capable security analysts and even up to the C-level executives to understand incident response and to understand the dynamics of having a breach and what it entails is another level. So you don't want to rely just on product accumulation, and, right. and you want to really focus as well on training and having security experts that can know how to manage those products.
I want to go to this idea of prevention or being proactive, but let's talk about Equifax. That was the mm-hmm. big data breach. Do we know if there was a way that could have been prevented?
So from my understanding is it was essentially a server that had not been patched. And so that's something that's very, again, something that is considered standard practice to make sure you always have all the security updates. But in this case, they had not done that on some of their servers. And that brings up another interesting point is that companies having very complex networks sometimes are very slow to be able to improve their security profile because they're scared to upset the balance of their network. So if you introduce new security updates, it may all of a sudden create a havoc that you weren't expecting. So you have to go do a lot of testing to ensure that your security products and your network can take these updates. And so in this case, that had not been done yet, and that led to a vulnerability. And what happens is sometimes you'll see when a vulnerability becomes known, it could be exploited within minutes.
Is it about cybersecurity? Is it about, you know, constantly trying to keep up with what is going on, again, from all these attacks? Is it really just trying to keep up with the attacks? And whether it's my independent computer, my individual computer, or the company system, we have to constantly get these updates and upgrades to keep up with what's happening. I mean, is that really what we're dealing with? Is that just the way it's going
to
be?
I think that's the way it is now. I don't think that's the way it always has to be. You're seeing a lot of the industry going more to machine learning, artificial intelligence. It's making its way into cybersecurity so that it doesn't rely so much on the constant updating, but yet you can have a tool that will understand behavior analytics and be able to control flow of data. But that's still, it's still a slow moving process. So right now, there is this constant focus on having the latest updates, having the latest patches, having constant updating.
Are criminals, are they ahead in this game? Is it a cat and mouse chase? Are we ahead of them? They're just always annoying us, or are they ahead of us and we're chasing them to keep our system safe? I mean, what's going on?
Yeah, I think they have traditionally been very much in the forefront of technology. And so it's very difficult because, as I mentioned before, with the fact that our lives become more and more digital, right? Now you're having biometrics, autonomous vehicles, the Internet of Things, smart homes, etc. So our lives become ever more digital. That gives the criminals ever more opportunity to get in through different methods. Again, whether it be just social engineering or a very complex SQL injection type attack, it just the fact that we continue to have our lives be more and more digital creates more and more opportunity. And it's like anything. You're the criminals that are motivated by any, it could be financially, could be social or political causes, whatever the case may be, they always seem to be able to find a way to get in.
There is concern that once students are taught these cybersecurity skills, that they could use them maliciously. I mean, is there a concern that you might actually be creating the next generation of hackers? I don't even know if that's a word people like to use anymore, but you know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. You know, one of the good things about what we're doing is you've a lot of cybersecurity training does focus on what's called red team, which is really much the offensive side of cybersecurity, which is how you hack and how you get into these systems and what you can do once you're in there. For our center, we're really focusing on the blue team aspect of it, which is the defense team. So in our situation, we're not teaching offensive strategies. What we're doing is we're saying you have a network and you're going to be attacked by these offensive strategies. So you have to learn how to defend. But students, I mean, again, with today's technology, they can go online. It's not that difficult to learn these techniques. So anyone that is interested and wants to learn about how to do these different methods, there's ways to find it.
Let's finish up with this, because you had said earlier that there's a lack of workers out there, mm-hmm. the skilled workers necessary. Where are the opportunities for students once they finish the training? I mean, are there a lot of opportunities here in South Florida, here in Miami, or are they going to have to take those Silicon Valley or go to New York or something like that? Where's the demand?
So right now, you know, we're definitely seeing Miami grow as more of a hub for technology. We're seeing some really some large scale technology players setting up shop here in South Florida. And so one of the plans that we have with the Cybersecurity Center of the Americas is not only to develop this talent, but to keep it and to let it develop within this ecosystem. There's still a lot of room to go. But in terms of cybersecurity, the beauty of it is that there's so many industries and so many organizations that need that. You know, traditionally what you had was you had an IT person and they also did the security side, but they weren't experts. That dynamic is starting to change a lot. And so what you're seeing is organizations from small, medium businesses are having to get security experts on staff.
Real quickly, what are you going to tell the students? Because the program's mm-hmm. starting this fall. What are you going to tell the students about, you know, where those opportunities are and where, you know, what's ahead for them?
So what we're doing is we're right now we're meeting with a lot of different industry leaders, all these different organizations, again, public, private sector, and just really making a lot of the contacts that we want to have so that we let them know that many of them have already come up to us and said, as soon as you start producing these cybersecurity experts, we want to know about it because we have the need. And so that's what we're starting to do, and we're starting to really sort of generate that talent and generate those connections. And the other thing we want the Cybersecurity Center of the Americas to be is a hub to allow industry and students to commingle and get to know each other and network in that fashion as well.
Jorge Ortega, again, the new director of the Miami-Dade College Cybersecurity School of the Americas, that's launching this fall, preparing those cyber warriors for the future. Jorge, thanks so much, man. I really appreciate the time.
Thank you.